Hi, my name is Chris Brennan, and you're listening to the Astrology Podcast. This episode is recorded on Wednesday, September 28th, 2016, starting at 9:58 p.m. in Denver, Colorado, and this is the 90th episode of the show. For more information about how to subscribe to the podcast and help support the production of future episodes by becoming a patron, please visit theastrologypodcast.com/subscribe. In this episode, I'm going to be talking with Patrick Watson about the 2016 U.S. presidential election, and specifically the topic of birth data related to the candidates and different issues connected with that, especially in relation to the birth time of Hillary Clinton. So, Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's been about, I think, 4 years, I think, since we did our 2012 sort of podcast on that election, and time flies.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So you've been, writing a series of articles on the election. And actually, sorry, before we get to that, I guess I should do the announcements. So really quickly, since this is episode 90, it's been four episodes since we did our last drawing. This is actually the episode for the drawing for September. So for patrons of the show and people who donate on the $5 and $10 tiers through our website, through our page on Patreon, they automatically get entered into a drawing in order to win a prize at the end of each month. So the two prizes this month, the prize for the $5 tier is free access to my online course on electional astrology for one lucky winner on the $5 tier. And the winner of that is patron Cindy Letourneau. So congratulations, you just won a free pass to my online course on electional astrology. So just send me an email once you hear this episode, and I'll give you all the information about how to access that. Let's see. And then the other prize that we're giving away this month is a free pass to my primary course, the one that I have spent the most time focusing on and developing over the past year, 10 years, which is on Hellenistic astrology and many of the techniques that Patrick and I use that we'll be applying to the presidential election during the course of this episode are taught in that course. So the winner, the patron on the $10 tier who won the free access to that course is Dorge Christian. So go ahead and give me an email at some point to let me know when you'd like to collect your prize, and I'll give you your login information for that. So yeah, thanks everybody for being a patron, and thank you especially to those two listeners and everybody who supports the show on the $5 and $10 and frankly on every tier. It's been amazing. It's been a year since we launched the Patreon campaign, a year and a few months, and it's been going really well and allows me to do more shows like this one. All right, so announcements out of the way, let's jump into the main topic. And this is a topic that you and I think have been passionate about for many years. We wrote a blog that sort of culminated in the 2012 presidential election, where we predicted that Obama would win, and we actually issued that prediction in April of 2012. But right around the same time, we actually got contacted sort of out of the blue by a reporter from ABC who asked us at the time, she wanted to know if Hillary Clinton would run for the presidency in 2016, if we thought that looked likely in her chart, because there was a lot of speculation going around. And some people were saying, yes, of course she'll run. But other people were saying, no, she very well may not.
And she herself was saying that and insisting that she wasn't.
Right. She was very insistent at the time that she was not going to run. And so this reporter who had been covering Hillary for a few years, I think at that point, while she was at the State Department, asked us to look into it. And so we had actually I'd been researching her birth time since at least 2006. I remember seriously starting to look into it by 2006. And I actually remember the first time I think that I was actually with Nick Dagan Best the first time I think that we pulled up her chart and took a look at the 8 a.m. time with Scorpio rising, and just being really impressed by it, because that chart, from the perspective of a traditional, especially from the perspective of a Hellenistic astrologer, is actually very eminent and very striking in this very sort of interesting way that we'll get into later.
Go ahead. If you had no idea who she was or who this chart belonged to, you would still make many of the same kinds of statements about that person, and you would be able to recognize that they were a person of great eminence. That's what I think is kind of interesting. It's more or less as many so-called objective indicators of an eminent chart.
Right. It just has them sort of all over the place. And what was more interesting, you and I realized at that point, because we were so focused on the U.S. presidential election at that point and focused on Obama's chart and Romney's chart in 2012, that this was kind of like a side thing, but we decided to pull it up. And I know you'd worked on it previously because you'd especially done a lot of work during the 2008 presidential, during the primaries when she was competing against Obama in order to win the nomination for the Democrats.
Yeah, at the time, you know, before we had a proper time for Obama, I remember this back on MySpace, thinking that Hillary was going to win because she was going to have a loosening of the bond to Pisces, but that ended up coinciding with her rise to Secretary of State as opposed to President. So it was still a big positive development in her career, but it wasn't the scenario she was necessarily looking for at that time.
Sure. So, when we looked at it in 2012 and we took the same techniques that we had just, because we spent a few weeks putting together the prediction for the 2012 election, and the mm-hmm. primary technique that we used was this Hellenistic Time Lord technique that I've mentioned a million times on the podcast before called Zodiac Releasing. Because what Zodiac Releasing does is it's very good about taking a person's entire life and dividing it up into chapters and paragraphs as if the life was a book, and you were able to divide it into these different chapters and then get a sense of sort of a broad sense of what the quality of each chapter was like and whether the person sort of enjoyed that chapter of their life or whether they found it more challenging. And it also shows, it can do some weird things like show career transitions or even career peaks, like periods in a person's life where they'll do their most important work or in which they'll become eminent for some reason within their, whatever their chosen career field is and things like that. So it's this sort of incredibly mind-blowing technique that can sort of do things that, you know, most astrologers don't even know are possible, the things that, you know, somebody might assume that astrologers could do. But when you get into astrology, it tends to be more about like psychology and like character analysis and things like that. And so astrologers tend to scale back their sort of expectations of what astrology is capable of. But then when you come across a technique like this, you actually realize that astrology can do some pretty crazy things. And so that was the technique that we were applying to make our prediction for the 2012 presidential election that Obama would win. And when we took it and looked at it again seriously in the lead up to this interview with this reporter from ABC News, we were both really impressed that Hillary was actually in, or she would be right in the middle of, an 8-year peak period, which was the highest peak period that she could hit in her entire career during this period that centered on the 2016 presidential election. Right? That was basically part of our conclusion.
Right, yeah. She was in an angular period. The previous one she'd had was the one that she started from birth. That was the 25-year-long Cancer period. And the loosing of the bond was to her fortune 10th. And that was at the time that she got national attention for her the commencement speech she made at her own graduation, in which she rebuked a sitting senator who'd just spoken before her and basically rallied her generation towards, activism in politics. pretty big start, pretty promising start for, you know, a woman who even at that time, some people wondered, you know, if she might be the first female president. And that was during her last, so-called angular period. And compared to the other parts of her life where she wasn't really in as much of a position to do much for herself, like when she was married to Bill in the Arkansas first lady years, you know, that wasn't necessarily as productive a time for her. And that was, that time is encapsulated by the Leo period that she had at the time. And then Virgo was a bit better, you know, when she became first lady, and sure. When she was, you know, a senator. and Secretary of State, but now she's returned to another angular period in her life, and this is now when she is, you know, in full control and, you know, a presidential candidate and very, very close to potentially becoming the next president.
Right. So it's like we did this full workup of her entire life chronology, and we were really impressed using the 8 a.m. time, which we'll come back to later, just how well it seemed to line up with her past chronology and past periods of eminence, going all the way back to like, what was it? It was like she became like the hall monitor or something in elementary school.
So the particular sub period that she is under, in an Aquarius sub period in previous.
Well, and we shouldn't talk too much about the specifics. No, literally nobody knows the technique.
Basically, this time of her life is related to other times that she's had political successes and had significant political activity that she's been involved in. So that's how we base that prediction.
Right. So we kept seeing the same part of her chart being activated over and over again during periods of eminence and career advancement, even little tiny ones when she was like a little girl. Right. So that gave us really good feeling, you know, that we were onto something, we had the right time, and at least confident enough that I went on to Fox News and like did this interview. So we did the interview with the ABC News reporter, and then the next day I get contacted by Fox News and they say, we want you to come on for a live interview on Fox and Friends to talk about this. And for some reason, after debating it sort of pretty extensively, I went ahead and went through with it and did this interview and, you know, went on Fox News and said, yes, Hillary does look like she will be running for president in 2016 and that Obama will win the 2012 presidential election. And it's this really funny, like hilarious, weird interview because the reporter, you know, the Fox News reporter who, you know, interestingly became more prominent in the past few months due to the whole Fox News debacle, which is kind of weird. What was her name again?
Gretchen Carlson.
Yeah. So I was actually interviewed by Gretchen Carlson. And, you know, she actually throws in like zodiac releasing terminology and she's asking me about, you know, so you said that Hillary was in an Aquarius period or a Leo period or something like that.
That was one of the most surreal moments of my entire life, is watching Chris Brennan answer questions by Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Yeah, just totally surreal.
Right. So that was really wild. Anyway, so that was kind of like that was 4 years ago now, 4.5 years ago. That was a culmination of a very weird period. And so, you know, recently the other night seeing Hillary, you know, in the first presidential debate with Donald Trump was really surreal because it was sort of like the fruition of that prediction that we made 4 years ago. But, you know, the whole story actually with you know, Hillary and Hillary's birth data and trying to establish the correct chart for Hillary actually goes back 10 years since 2006, because in 2006, I first started looking at her chart because everybody started anticipating, you know, we were halfway through President Bush's second term. And so the question was, you know, who's going to be president starting in 2008? And in early 2007, there was a conference, an NCGR conference in Baltimore that I went to. And maybe before I get there, so in 2006, the Astra Data Bank for Hillary was already filled with entries of different astrologers claiming different times. But the two most prevalent times, which is still the case today, is there's an 8 a.m. time, which is the Scorpio rising chart, and then there's an 8 p.m. time, which at exactly 8 p.m. it gives like 29 degrees Gemini rising, or at 8:01 it's already switched to 0 degrees of Cancer rising. So basically 8 a.m. is definitely Scorpio rising, 8 p.m. is either Gemini or Cancer rising. And for us, I mean, for Patrick and I, even a tiny switch as small as that of switching from 29 Gemini to 0 degrees of Cancer, that's actually a huge shift, because using whole sign houses as we do, it changes all of the house placements of all of the planets potentially.
Right. The planet that rules the ascendant, which is supposed to describe, you know, how one navigates through their life, you know, is totally different. You know, Gemini rising, you know, Mercury would be the operative planet, you know, making someone well, mercurial or curious or adaptable, you know, but with Cancer rising, with the moon rules, so you might be more sentimental, more reactive, instinctual. So those are some qualitative differences which come along with a tiny change like that in between the ascendants has big repercussions.
Sure. Yeah. So it makes major change. It changes all the house rulers, changes the ruler of the ascendant. It can change timing things like zodiac releasing or annual perfections, which are very sensitive to especially sign changes of the ascendant. So it's a big deal to know, you know, what time a person's born, because the predictive techniques that we're using are predicated on knowing the correct birth time, at least roughly. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not always the case for all astrologers. It's like some astrologers use different techniques for predicting elections. Like some astrologers use mundane techniques or electional techniques or horary or whatever that are not as tied into natal. But, you know, for me, and I think for you as well, to some extent, you know, natal astrology is our primary thing because we have this, you know, this crazy powerful technique called zodiac releasing that can do these crazy things about predicting eminence.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's sort of our best access point for figuring out something like, you know, who's going to be president on January 20th of 2017.
Absolutely.
So, so back in 2006, 2007, you know, there's already a lot of controversy surrounding Hillary's birth time because we have no birth certificate, and because there's already conflicting reports for some reason. Some of the people were saying 8 a.m., some people were saying 8 p.m., and then there was a few scattered other reports like midnight or 2:18 in the morning and other things like that. So, but the two main ones were 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. So there was this conference in Baltimore that the NCGR put on in March of 2007, and I attended it. I think I gave like a lunch lecture or something there. And my friend and Nick Diggenbest and I, we attended a lecture by Shelley Ackerman that was supposed to be on the 2008 presidential election and specifically on the birth charts of the candidates. So I was actually really excited to go to that because Shelley had become well known, or at least I knew of Shelley because she was like, one of her claims to fame was that she was the astrologer who got a hold of Bill Clinton's birth time in like 1991 or 1992 during the 1992 presidential election. I think through like contacting Bill Clinton's mom or something like that. I'm not really clear on that actually. Anyway, so the hope in going to this lecture was that she was going to have the inside scoop and would know, you know, more information than I did or than was publicly available about Hillary's birth time. But we sort of got there and, you know, there was nothing new. It was just sort of, she sort of just presented everything that everybody knew already from Astro Data Bank, you know, in a sort of presentation, which is useful if you hadn't already researched or weren't aware of all of those facts or hadn't put them together. But since we had at that point, it didn't necessarily present us with new information. That's until there was at one point during the discussion of Hillary's birth time and everybody sort of like throwing out different sources and different ideas. There was this woman, this old woman stood up towards the front of the room off to the left from where I was sitting, from where me and Nick were sitting. And she like very calmly and very confidently stood up and announced that Hillary was definitely born at 8 o'clock in the morning and that she had Scorpio rising. And she didn't say much else, but then she sort of sat down. But it was interesting to me because sort of the speaker, Shelley, in the room was kind of silent and sort of let her speak and seemed to treat her with like a certain amount of respect. And I had no idea who she was. That was the main thing that I actually got from that lecture was just, you know, this sort of this woman mysteriously stands up and says very confidently that Hillary was definitely born at 8 a.m. And then what's weird is the rest of the conference went on and I went off to do whatever else I did. And then the conference came to an end a few days later and we were, Nick and I were checking out of our hotel room with, you know, whoever else we were crashing with. And I was on my way out walking through the lobby and I ran into the woman who had stood up in Shelley's lecture and I stopped her and I asked her, I was like, why, how are you so certain that Hillary was born at 8 o'clock in the morning? And I don't remember like the precise wording of what she said, but she basically said something to the effect that Hillary was told something bad about Scorpio, the zodiacal sign Scorpio once, and she doesn't want people to know that she was born with Scorpio rising, or she doesn't want to give people the accurate birth time. And this woman seemed to say something like that she thought Hillary was deliberately putting out false times in order to sort of throw people off. And she, I don't remember the precise wording again, but she seemed to claim that she or somebody she knew had access to either the birth certificate or to something legitimate that confirmed that the time was definitely 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm trying to think of what else, but those are really the main points. And so I was like, that's amazing, because, you know, I thought that I just got the inside scoop, and I asked her what her name was, and the woman said her name was Frances McAvoy. So I would later come to find out that Frances McAvoy was actually a semi-prominent astrologer in the East Coast astrological community, that she used to run the Boston NCGR group, which is one of the largest astrology, like local astrological organizations or chapters of the NCGR in the country. She was also an avid data collector. And since she lived in Massachusetts, which is an open state, she had submitted like hundreds and hundreds of pieces of birth data to Astro Data Bank over the years. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, wasn't she the source for Mitt Romney?
Yeah, so she became the source for Mitt Romney, which became important because even though he, you know, did not win the primaries in 2008, he later became, you know, the primary guy in 2012 for the Republicans. She was the source for like a few other pieces of birth time, but it was actually not until later, I think in 2007, like the end of 2007, I started to realize that there was problems where she had submitted other pieces of birth data. I think one of them was for like John Edwards or someone like that, the politician, that later turned out to be incorrect. So where she had given, either she'd come up with a birth time that later turned out to be incorrect when another source was found, or I think in one instance with like John Kerry or somebody, she must have been given what was an approximate birth time, but then she turned it into Astro Data Bank as an exact time, presumably as a result of like rectifying it to sort of fit precisely what she thought the accurate birth time was.
When I asked John Kerry myself, he said sunrise with the strangest expression on his face. Like I just asked him like if, you know, I could see his dick or something. It was a great moment. But yeah, so she probably got a similar saucer then and then put an exact time on the sunrise.
Yeah, that's what I sort of inferred later, because I think then somebody else also got a source from like John Kerry's sister or something like that, and she said sunrise, and then we realized, oh, Frances must have gotten, you know, that as well, but then she submitted it not as a rounded time, but instead as an exact time that was like 20 or 30 minutes later or something like that. So I started to like have some questions about Frances's like methods, and I had previously sort of taken for granted that she told me the truth when she said, you know, she had some sort of direct access and knew for sure that Hillary was both giving out different times deliberately and that, but that she was definitely born at 8 a.m. So right about the time I started to figure that out, of course, Frances passed away. And so I never actually got a chance to follow up on that and ask her what the deal was, or to try to get, like sort of feel her out and get a sense for whether she was somebody that could be trusted or whether she was telling the truth, or if I could get any other details. I never really got that opportunity, because basically about the same time that I figured out that I needed to ask those sorts of follow-up questions, I sort of lost the chance to. So I'm not sure if that brings us up to the present time, but basically that's part of the backdrop of this, or the other part of the backdrop is about a year ago, you know, I got contacted by a reporter who was interested in this story and had heard these rumors from the astrological community that Hillary Clinton, you know, that there was this mystery surrounding Hillary Clinton's birth time and that nobody knew what the correct time was, and that there might be some sort of like intrigue surrounding it. And I sort of worked with her a little bit, and she did some amazing sort of investigative reporting where she started going through the Astro Data Bank list and contacting some of the people and trying to verify some of the statements. And what was surprising to me at the time was that a lot of them started falling apart. And this is problematic for me because we'd been using, of course, the 8 a.m. time for a while, including back in 2012 when we issued the prediction that she would definitely run for the presidency. And one of the things that we always based that on, or one of the things that we always thought we could rely on, was this entry that's been in Astro Data Bank for a while, where it says, according to her mother, in an interview with the Chicago Sun-Times newspaper, according to her mother, she was born in time for breakfast, or something to that effect.
That breakfast had us strung us along for a long time.
Yeah, because it said in like a 1992 interview, her mother said she was born in time for breakfast. In a 1992 interview, maybe we should bring that up so we're not like misquoting it. Mm-hmm.
Instead, she found the article from 1993. That's the one that seemed to address when Hillary was born, but it's a little unclear. It's not exact.
Okay, here it says. It says, in an article in Horoscope Magazine, November 1998, Frances McAvoy, so again, it goes back to Frances McAvoy, quote-unquote, mother states in an article to Chicago Sun-Times in 1992 that Hillary was, quote-unquote, born in time for breakfast. So the problem that the reporter found a year ago is that she couldn't find any interview with Hillary from 1992 with the Chicago Sun-Times with Hillary's mother, and anything that she did find didn't say anything about being born in time for breakfast. What she did find, though, is an interview in the Chicago Sun-Times with Hillary's mother from 1993, and it said something quite different. So
it says, yeah. It says that she had a 12-hour labor, so she went to the hospital in the morning, and she was born. It's unclear if she's saying she was born 12 hours after coming to the hospital, or was in labor for 12 hours and then came to the hospital in the morning. So, I mean, one way you read it, it seems like she had to have been born maybe close to 8 p.m. You know, if she went early in the morning, if that was like 8 in the morning, so then that would seem to corroborate the 8 p.m. time. But then if you read it the other way, it seems like she went into labor for 12 hours and then went to the hospital in the morning and delivered the child. Hillary.
Can you send me the link for that again?
Yes.
Do you have it? Okay. So, and also just to clarify and emphasize the previous point, in Astro Data Bank, and it's one of the top entries, so that means it's some of the earliest entries on Astro Data Bank. Just above the one from Frances that says she was born in time for breakfast, it says, Eileen Applegate quotes an article from the Chicago Sun-Times stating, quote unquote, her mother went into Edgewater Hospital after midnight and Hillary was born early on the morning of October 26th. So that's actually the statement that comes first. And then there's the other statement by Frances from 1998 saying Hillary was born in time for breakfast. So these are like purportedly, you know, quoting a newspaper article from 1992 that, you know, we've never seen because we weren't like around in 1992, but we're sort of taking for granted that somebody's not going to like fabricate an article like that. And it seemed to provide us with like an external piece of information that confirmed that what Frances had told me wasn't just, you know, out of thin air, that an 8 a.m. time is, you know, roughly in the early in the morning and is potentially in time for breakfast, whatever that means. So what the reporter found, though, like a year ago, is she said, I can't find any article from 1992. All I can find is this other early 1993 article, and it actually says the exact opposite of that, because it says the mother went into the hospital in the morning, but then Hillary was born 12 hours later, right? That's basically what it says?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it appears to be on the first read. And then, but I think that it's a little unclear. I'm looking it up right now. It's a little unclear whether, because one way you read it, it could be saying that the mother went in to labor for 12 hours and then came to the hospital to deliver the child. So that would indicate like a time in the morning as opposed to a time at night. The other thing that's strange is that duration of the labor wouldn't be something that was listed on the birth certificate. That would have to have come from, you know, an interview with the mother, presumably. So it's a little circumspect. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, the basic thing was that the first paragraph seemed to be something where if you were reading it casually or if you misread it, you could think that it meant in the morning. But then if you read the following sentence, it's pretty clear that it says she was born in the evening. And so the question then became, you know, is this the original article that supposedly they're citing from 1992? Or was there another article that we just can't find from 1992 that predated this and said something different? And that's actually sort of a mystery that I don't know. We've never figured out. We sort of assume at this point, or sort of led to assume or forced to assume, that maybe they got the dating mixed up and it wasn't a 1992 article. It was a 1993 article. But then that means they also misinterpreted the article and got the date wrong. And that supposedly two different people did this, because there's two different entries in Ashton Data Bank, one from someone named Eileen Applegate and then another from Francis.
It's almost like Hillary was born during a Mercury retrograde, you know?
Right.
So square Saturn.
It had just stationed retrograde, I think, on the
day. Right, yeah, just stationed retrograde. So, yeah, you know, we watch us finally get the birth certificate and there's like a big smudge where the time is. Right. That will be our luck, you know. Forever lost.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that was a big revelation last year was, you know, that the external evidence that we thought we had for the morning time wasn't as good as we thought. Then the reporter like started just systematically going through the rest and like trying to verify some of the other ones that seemed to verify the 8 a.m. time. One of them was Basil Farrington, who in the Astro Data Bank entry, it says he relates in January 2001, quote unquote, a musician friend of mine played in the Democratic fundraiser for Al Gore in Manhattan this past summer. Afterwards, he got a chance to talk to Hillary. Knowing my ongoing love affair with astrological data, because he's a student of mine, he asked Hillary what time she was born. And he says her exact words were, quote unquote, I know it was very close to 8 a.m., 4 to 5 minutes before or after. So that's another one of those things where in the Astro Data Bank entry, it always seemed like another really strong, you know, confirmation for the 8 a.m. time. But then when asked about this, Basil said that his friend had died, so he wasn't even like available for questioning to sort of confirm that story. And then on top of it, when kind of sort of pressed on the issue, Basil seemed a little non-committal or like not really fully willing to commit to it at this point, and I didn't really understand why. So that seemed to like be a little bit iffy about trying to confirm that source as well. So that source kind of fell apart on us at the same time. So this kept happening. And then on top of that, while that was happening, I started asking around and doing some of my own sort of investigations of my own and actually found out that there's more astrologers than are even listed in the source notes. There's several people in the source notes who say that they asked Hillary her birth time and she replied that she was born at 8 p.m. But it turns out that there's actually a few more astrologers in the community. If you ask around to some of the more established astrologers who have asked Hillary her birth time in person and which she said 8 p.m., one of them that I talked to was Joyce Levine, who's the current chair of the NCGR, the current president of the NCGR. She asked Hillary this at a fundraiser at some point, and Hillary said 8 p.m. And then there was like another astrologer, I forget who asked in the late 1990s at a book signing, and Hillary said 8 p.m. then. And then to top all of that off, a couple of years ago in June of, you know, 2016 or June of 2014, I got a email from the bookstore down the street from me saying that Hillary was going to be there doing a book signing this weekend. And so I you know, got up early and went down there that day and got in line and stood in line for a couple of hours. And eventually after like a long line, like actually got up to the thing, got my book signed, and very nervously and probably very suspiciously looking, asked Hillary what time she was born. And she, I don't know how to describe it. She kind of like sat back or sort of looked back and like she was thinking about it. And then she said, I think 8 p.m. Or she said, I think 8 o'clock in the evening. I think she said 8 o'clock in the evening. And then I said, p.m., sort of not incredulously, but just to clarify. And she said, yeah, I think so. But it's like she seemed very noncommittal and like not
unsure,
like not sure about it. Or I mean, at the time, it was like I was so paranoid because, you know, Francis had said that Hillary was deliberately giving out false birth times, and there was all these other birth times floating around, where one of my goals was to attempt to see if I could even sort of gauge what it was like when she said it. Because that was one of the things in talking to all these different people, or when you're reading the source notes in AstroDataBank, that you really can't get any sense of, which is, did the person look like, you know, they were genuine, or did they look like they're saying it sarcastically, or, you know, did they look like they were faking it or lying or what have you? And I really wanted to know that. And so that was one of the reasons why I wanted to ask her myself.
And what was your ultimate impression? Do you side more with the astrologers who believe that she is purposely misleading astrologers, or do you think that it's probably an honest mistake and kind of perhaps an innocuous detail to not necessarily know?
I mean, yourself? I don't know at this point, because I don't know her well enough in person or haven't had enough interactions with her to know how she'd usually respond to a question like that. And so I know my impression at the time was this assumption where I felt like I'd confirmed that it was almost like she was telling me something where it was supposed to come off as if she didn't know the answer, but she knew what she was going to say ahead of time.
Well, it's almost certain that she knew why you were asking. If she's been asked this question this many times, you know, she must know.
Right. I mean,
she must have some idea when people ask that question, like, oh, here's another astrologer.
Right. It's like we're talking about more than half dozen. We're talking about at least a dozen times over the past 2 decades. But, you know, whether that, you know, I'm hesitant to like jump to, because my immediate conclusion was just like, oh yeah, she's totally not, she sort of knew what she was going to say, but may not have necessarily given me the answer that was correct. But it's like, who knows? Because on the other hand, when we then later uncovered this, you know, Chicago Sun-Times article that said she went in, her mother may have gone into the hospital in the morning and then was born 12 hours later, she could be recalling something like that and thinking, yeah, I guess, you know, according to that article, it said I was born in the evening, so that must be correct. And she, you know, could have never looked at her birth certificate any time in the past, like 30 or 40 years, and actually seen that it says, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, hypothetically. There's a lot of unknown questions, but the biggest thing at this point, as of, you know, a year ago, was that it turned out that Hillary had been pretty consistent about telling astrologers that she was born at 8 o'clock in the evening since at least the early to mid 90s. And that continued through the 2000s and all the way up until, you know, the most recent person who's asked her, which is me, 2 years ago in 2014. So, you know, normally we would just take that for granted, but then there's this like broader question of, you know, would a politician ever give out the wrong time deliberately? Is there any sort of like strategic or political value to not, you know, giving out your birth time, or what would cause a person to do that, or what have you? And that's the question where, you know, some of the statements that Francis made came into play, because, you know, I still don't know if she actually had any valid reason for saying that, or if that was just sort of like a suspicion on her part or something like that. One of the sort of like anecdotal things that I do think is funny that I always think about, for some reason, is that In the astrological community, it's like every once in a while I'll run into an astrologer. You know, it's like most astrologers will like, you know, put their birth chart on like their shirts, or like get coffee mugs like printed up with their birth chart or something, or be really over the top about it. And especially like newer astrologers, like it's like the first thing they
especially, do. Especially t-shirts with the zodiac in the wrong order and the symbols upside down and missing. Yeah.
And like students of astrology at conferences will come up and like hand you their birth chart as like an introduction sometimes. So the only times the times when that's not true then sometimes stand out, where every once in a while it's like you'll run into an astrologer who you'll say, you know, what's your rising sign, or you'll say, you know, where's your Mercury placed, and they'll be sort of cagey about it, and they'll be kind of hesitant. They'll say, I don't share my birth data. And or sometimes there'll just be astrologers out there where, you know, their birth time isn't known because they don't like to make that public. And what's funny about this, and this is completely anecdotal and it's completely almost subjective on some level, but what I found is weird is every time I've run into an astrologer who has that preference of keeping their birth data completely private, and in the instances where I've later found out what their actual birth time was for one reason or another, and this has happened like 4 or 5 times, they all turned out to have Scorpio rising. So I always thought that was really funny sort of parallel when it came to this birth data issue with Hillary, because if the theoretical like proposed time is correct of 8 o'clock in the morning, that would give her Scorpio rising, and therefore it could potentially give her, you know, a sort of motivation for not wanting her actual birth time to be out there, to the same extent that some of these astrologers in the astrological community don't want their birth data out there and won't necessarily share it with you. So that's obviously not something that you can like, that I'm going to pledge my life.
Can't go to the bank on that.
Right. Right. But it's something.
Check.
It's like an additional sort of data piece that sort of goes into all of this whole sort of complicated situation. So you've got those two issues with the 8 a.m. and the 8 p.m. time. And then you've got these other things like one of the entries further down in Astro Data Bank. It says, in February of 2008, Arlen Wise, who is one of the founders of the Organization for Professional Astrologers, wrote to the ESAR eZine volume 477 the following. It says, I know this is hearsay, but my chiropractor has treated Bill and Hillary when they came here to Martha's Vineyard. What's her name? Arlen has lived on Martha's Vineyard for 40 years or something like that. And it says in the summer, when they came there in the summer, she told me, so the chiropractor told me she had a conversation with Hillary about how they have the same astrology, both Scorpios with Pisces moons and Leo rising. Actually, it says they have the same astrology, both Scorpio moons with Scorpios with Pisces moons and both Leo rising. And then she goes on and she says, I haven't seen a time that gives Hillary a Leo ascendant, but that's what she says she has. It definitely negates the 8:02 a.m. time and adds to the confusion. So this is another one where it's always sort of like been there, but I didn't know what to make of that. But last summer in like June of 2015, I actually went to do an OPA, Organization for Professional Astrologers training, sort of intensive or retreat with their group. And it was held at Arlen's house in Martha's Vineyard. So I actually got a chance, we were walking around one day around like the piers, and I got a chance to ask Arlen about this. And she was actually really serious she seemed very earnest about it, that this exchange with her chiropractor had actually taken place. And so,
which is also remarkable if it's true that like Hillary knows that moon sign. Like, I mean, that would show that Hillary has some interest in astrology. Most people wouldn't know that unless they, you know, did have the time and were looking more deeply into the natal chart.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would mean she'd have some familiarity with astrology and with her birth chart placements. And the Leo rising time would be approximately midnight, basically. If you cast like a midnight chart for Hillary, that would give her Leo rising or sometime after midnight, not too long after. So that was weird because then, you know, Arlen wasn't just some like crazy astrologer who you couldn't trust. It's like she seemed pretty genuine, you know, in what she was saying, to whatever extent she was relaying some exchange that happened theoretically with her chiropractor. So that's another one of those instances where it's like, well, okay, is that, you know, a good indication that we need to take more seriously? Or could that be another instance, if it was at all true, that Hillary might be giving out, you know, false birth times? Could that possibly be another instance? Or what do we make of that? And there's a bunch of little things like that when you're dealing with this issue. If you sort of study this, or if you read up on the Astro Data Bank entry and everything else. So does that bring us up to where we're at today, basically?
I'm
trying to think if there's any other background stuff that we haven't gotten to.
Yep. Pretty much. That's like the whole saga so far.
That's the whole enchilada. Okay. So that brings us up until the very recent time. And I decided I wanted to take, you know, this election off, because the last election was pretty intense and pretty crazy. And I spent several months just sort of like, you know, both writing articles and like obsessing over the election, but also like trying to focus on like website security and how to deal with massive amounts of traffic on election day and all sorts of things like that. And it was kind of a big hassle. So I kind of wanted to avoid it this time. And we didn't keep writing on our blog, the Political Astrology blog, at politicalastrologyblog.com. But you've been writing some articles and doing coverage of this election and doing some really great work. And you actually got some pretty crucial birth data ahead of time, just like you did in the 2012 election, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're on kind of a streak with vice presidential candidates.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. If you have a vice presidential candidate, you need the time for, apparently I'm the guy. Yeah. I just noticed in 2012, it looked like I just kind of had a hunch that he's probably going to pick Paul Ryan. And turns out he's from an open state, so I went and got it ahead of time. And hey, I was right.
It was like a month. It was like a month ahead of time. It was really impressive.
And then this time, I was, you know, privately, I was very suspicious about Newt Gingrich, based on some of his releasing. But his birth time is also kind of at issue. So I had kind of a, I didn't do a very good prediction with that. I didn't publish that, but that was, you know, privately what I was thinking might happen. But I also thought that I thought that Kane was probably going to be picked by Clinton, and it turns out he was from an open state, so I figured I'd probably go and get that one ahead of time, and turned out to be right. And as soon as I got those times, I published them as quickly as possible. I didn't try to maximize publicity or play publicity games or, you know, pull PR stunts with them. I figured that, you know, this information is very important to astrologers all over the world who are looking at the, you know, United States elections. And that's why I put them out as soon as possible. And that's why part of the reason why I was so upset by some of these more recent developments regarding an announcement about Hillary's birth time.
Sure. And so you got Hillary's vice presidential pick, like it was like a month or something before this time?
I forget. Maybe a couple of weeks or so. I forget. I have to look back to see exactly how long before I got it, but
sure.
Yeah. And I then, did get it before.
And then what's the situation? So that means we got, you know, Hillary's vice president, we've got, you know, the questions surrounding Hillary's birth time, obviously, which is our main focus. Pence, we have nothing on. So we have nothing on.
There's nothing on Pence.
Trump's vice presidential pick, and he's born in a closed state. And then Trump himself, I didn't think we had, like last summer, I didn't think we had a good time on, but then it turned out that we did potentially have a birth certificate on Trump, mm-hmm. and that gave us an accurate birth time, right?
Thanks to the birth conspiracy, which he, you know, furthered and now randomly denies.
Right. Birtherism is the best thing that's happened to astrologers in like 2000
you
years.
Know, politics makes for strange bedfellows. I will say that, you know, what a world it could be if presidential candidates were forced to disclose their birth certificates, if for no other reason than to make the lives of astrologers just a little bit easier.
Right. And like in 2012, where they had, you know, those, I never got one. I still need to find one, but they were printing mugs with Obama's birth certificate on it as like part of his official campaign. Like that was basically like the high point. And I don't think it's ever going to get better than that for astrologers.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, but luckily, you know, Donald Trump did disclose his own birth certificate.
And it was reliable. I mean, because that was the thing at first. It was like there's three different versions, and that seemed a little sketchy. I wasn't sure what was going on there.
I mean, as soon as it crossed the chart with Mars rising like that in Leo, it just, he had me at Mars.
Sure. So it's 29 degrees Leo rising with Mars at like 29 Leo.
Right.
Okay.
And yeah, while it's very, very close to the end of Leo, I mean,
26, Mars at 26 Leo in the ascendant, right. 29 Leo.
Descended 29 Leo. And that's another case where, I mean, while rectification is a risky exercise, I mean, if you just want to compare, you know, Leo to Virgo, Leo being ruled by the sun, Mercury ruling Virgo, you know, which one do you think is the character of Donald Trump more, you know, with the sun conjunct Uranus as his, you know, the ruler of his first and the thing he's most sort of known for and most... you know, appearing as is a solar figure, you know, this guy is obsessed with himself and so on and so forth. You know, definitely is a far cry from the more practical and, you know, nerdy Virgo.
Sure. And it's also like a full moon chart, which is really interesting. It's like almost exactly.
A lunar eclipse.
Full moon lunar eclipse in Sagittarius / Gemini. So the moon's in Sagittarius and the sun's in Gemini.
Yep.
So that's pretty interesting as well in terms of it just being a, you know, somebody who's literally born on an eclipse, really close to it. It's only like an hour or two off from the exact eclipse and it's right on the node. So it must have been a pretty close lunar eclipse as well.
Right. Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, that was the prenatal lunar eclipse.
Interesting. The one that occurred just before they were born?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like we've got Trump's birth time. We've got Hillary's vice president's birth time. We don't have Pence. And then the final, you know, question is Hillary herself. So in terms of my involvement, a year ago, I got an invitation from ESAR, where they were planning their upcoming conference, which is going to be in October of 2016. And late last summer, they sent out invitations. And one of the invitations I got was to give a talk, but also to be on a presidential panel at the end of the conference, since it was going to take place right before the U.S. presidential election in November. They wanted to do a presidential panel like some of the ones that have happened at the past two United Astrology conferences in 2012 and 2008. So usually they do them at UAC every 4 years, but because the NCGR messed up UAC this time, ESAR decided to hold a conference in 2016 anyways, or instead, and so they decided to hold their own presidential panel. So I was on the last panel in 2012 and did pretty well, so they invited me to join this one. And because I wasn't otherwise issuing predictions for this election and didn't plan to, and was kind of going to avoid it, I had a lot of trepidation about whether I should accept it, but I decided to say yes and sort of hope and pray that some things were sort of clarified with Hillary's birth certificate over the course of the next 12 months, because that was something I was in the process of researching, and I started talking with the reporter and thought we were sort of making some headway and that something might break, something might give. Yeah, so that brings us up pretty much to the present time. And some developments have taken place basically in the past few days that have kind of thrown, it's not clear yet if they've completely thrown everything in disarray or if this is just like a little speed bump that's going to disappear before too long. So what's the setup for that? I mean, I guess it's basically just the announcement, right?
Right. Recently, ESOL put out a press release saying, you know, breaking news, Hillary Clinton's birth time has been found. So naturally, every astrologer, you know, who's been following this issue to some degree is going to have their interest piqued. And then it says, according to astrologer Mark Penfield, both the Cook County and State of Illinois record divisions last week verified a time of birth as recorded for Hillary Rodham that took place on October 26, 1947. If correct, it is not the commonly used birth times of approximately 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. So, you know, cue, everyone loses their minds.
Right. Everyone freaks out. And so this is a Facebook post. They posted this on Facebook on Sunday, September 25th.
But the more controversial part about this, that's not actually the controversial part, because it's sort of, I mean, it's going to be really, really cool if we actually get some closure on this. But I think the thing that upset people the most, and I'm sure you might be able to speak to this, Chris, is the idea that Penfield would be announcing this at the end of the conference after all of the prediction panelists will have already issued their predictions.
Yeah, so it's like it goes on and it says Mark will be one of the people on the closing panel, the closing presidential election panel at the conference on October 16th, and that he'll reveal the Democratic contender's time of birth then, and as well as the process he went through to find this. And it puts it in capital letters. It says this key missing astrological link for forecasting the 2016 USA presidential election. And then it says, so it's just really an over-the-top announcement. It says, so now we have even more suspense building up to the most exciting astrological event of 2016. Hope to see you on site in 2.5 weeks. Hashtag ESAR2016, hashtag astrology.
And instead of suspense, it generated, like, outrage.
Yeah, just, and, like, mass community outrage and, like, complete, like, ill will, because everybody else was just, you know, totally pissed off that supposedly they finally got Hillary's birth time, which astrologers have been trying to get for like 25 years now. And they're going to withhold it for a couple of more weeks until this panel at the end of this conference. So they got
I wrote a post, an open letter to Mark Penfield, alleging that he's, you know, kind of a jerk for deciding to withhold this time until the end of the conference, not only to the broader astrological community across the world, but also to his fellow panelists. But recently, since the pandemonium. We'll get there in a sec to the pandemonium.
Yeah, so it's like the community freaks out and everybody, it's this announcement is like universally met with scorn from just like, I don't know, dozens of astrologers all over Facebook. And, you know, that I can completely understand and relate to, but that's actually not that bad. I was more, you know, the other end of that, the other side of that coin was actually the fact that, you know, I'm on that panel, me and there's going to be two panels. There's going to be one panel at the end of the conference, and that's the one that I'm on and that apparently Mark is on. And then there's going to be one panel at the beginning of the conference that has international astrologers, and our friend Nick Dagenbest from Canada is going to be on that. And there's going to be a few other astrologers from different parts of the world that are going to be on that panel. So that panel is already going to take place at the beginning of the conference. Then we're going to have the second panel with U.S. astrologers, including myself and Lee Lehman and Nina Griffin and a few others. And then Mark, according to this announcement, is going to unveil the actual birth time for Hillary on the panel. So slight problem with that. They're organizing, you know, two separate panels. And what they're basically saying with this announcement, which they really appear to like not realize the implications of, that this organization that's hosting this is aware of and knows Hillary's birth time, supposedly, like assuming that this was true, which it may not be, that they know Hillary's exact birth time and that they're going to withhold that information from all of the panelists through the first panel all the way into the second panel, so that even though, you know, at some point during the second panel, we're all going to supposedly find out about it, we're not going to have gotten the birth information you know, ahead of time so that we can actually do something with it or incorporate it into our predictions. So basically they sent out a big announcement saying, you know, we're screwing over all of you who are on our panels so that, you know, personally, you'll have a less, you know, good chance of getting your prediction correct because you may be using false data or the wrong data, since they're claiming that this birth time that they've found matches neither the 8 a.m. time that's widely used or the 8 p.m. time that's the other time that's widely used, but it's some other third time. So it's going to screw over all of us, but then more broadly, it's going to screw over the community because it means that all the astrologers, if they do get it wrong because they were using the wrong data, then it's going to make all of us look like idiots because this organization thought, you know, it was a bright idea to withhold the data.
Right.
So that's the complete, like, sort of shitstorm that has formed over the past few days.
And so because of that shitstorm, Mark Penfield has now said that he's going to release the data through an ESAR online newsletter, should be due by this Monday.
Well, and that took a lot, because basically what happened is I freaked out and, like, wrote an angry email to the president of ESAR, who was responsible for this announcement, who was Ray Merriman, as well as all of the panelists on both panels, basically making sure that all the panelists know what ESAR has just announced and that they're screwing all of us, essentially, but also basically say, if you don't release this data ahead of time, like, I'm going to walk, because I'm not going to go onto a panel where you're purposely withholding the data from me until the last minute so that I can't not only, so it's a situation where, you know, if it's real data, it means it's going to be too late for me to work it into my slides, because I'm supposed to have the charts sent in, like, ahead of time. Like, I was supposed to submit my PowerPoint slides that would contain the charts and the zodiac releasing periods and all the data I'm using. The due date for that was today, September 28th. So not only is that not going to be sort of available to me ahead of time, but it's not going to be available to anybody. So I sent a sort of message trying to alert everybody to that and alert everybody to, and just telling them they needed to release it ahead of time. At the very least, if they were going to keep up this publicity stunt, you know, and didn't want to release it publicly, then they should at least make it available to the other panelists so that it doesn't screw over each of us personally and so that it doesn't screw over the broader community by making
it stronger. They wouldn't want to do that, though, because then that would, like, give away the secret. I mean, it's, in order to have the dramatic moment they want, they'd have to have Mark Penfield go first so that all of the other panels, you know, all of their comments will make sense because they're using, you know, this new birth time. Should it be a, you know, actually, like, valid one?
Right. And so, I mean, I basically said, I'm not doing the panel if you keep this up. And initially they actually doubled down on it. And they're like, well, you know, this is Mark. It's Mark's prerogative if he doesn't want to share the data until the day of the panel and blah, blah, blah. And I actually kept up on them. And then, like, at least one or two other panelists basically were saying, we don't want to walk into this not having the birth data either. Obviously, that's an incredibly stupid proposition or, like scenario for you to set up.
Well, and also what's kind of stupid about that is the idea that, like, Mark Penfield owns the data. Like, I mean, if this is an actual, like, verified birth time, then there would have had to have been someone who got around the law, you know, because Illinois is a closed state. So, I mean, this is, even if it was legitimate, it would be ill-gotten gains, and it would be, I don't know, I didn't think it would make much sense to consider it his, and therefore his, you know, decision personally, you know, when he's going to release it. It doesn't belong to him in the first place.
Yeah. And it's like, I understand to a certain extent the, you know, in theory, the, like, you know, the data collector should have their name associated with it because it takes work to collect, you know, birth data sometimes.
I mean, what about Hillary's right to privacy? You know, he didn't exactly ask her, you know, if he could have it. So, I mean, it's at this point,
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole separate issue in terms of that we've sort of talked about before in terms of, you know, celebrity charts and, like, you know, the ethics of birth data collection, everything else. But just on its own terms, there, you know, part of the issue is just You know, well, I guess I understand.
Well, I guess I'm just saying it all contradicts the idea that Mark Penfield has a, you know, you know, special ownership of it or something.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's. I think everyone generally, like the community generally agrees that it's kind of sketchy on his part to, if he has actually found the real birth time, to hold off for that long to reveal it. There's something a little that doesn't sit well with people about that at the very least.
Right.
And then the moment that Yesar finds out about this and then decides to use it for marketing purposes and also decides, I found out about this announcement through Facebook, through somebody sending me the link and saying, are you aware of this, without them telling me about it. So they had no intention of sharing it with the other panelists and didn't seem to be putting any pressure on Mark to share it until, you know, we started, you know, threatening to walk out or started complaining about it. So there's just this whole issue that the extent that they were using it for marketing, it was already sketchy to a little bit that Mark wouldn't share it with the other panelists or didn't give us a heads up. But then once Yesar found out about it, they certainly did have, you know, some sort of, if not moral, I don't know, you know, for research purposes, for the sake of the astrological community, for all sorts of other motivations to encourage him to share it with the rest of us. But that wasn't their interest. They were more interested in using it as a marketing scheme. So, you know, the community freaked out. They got a bunch of ill will and a bunch of shade thrown their way by the Facebook community. The panelists started freaking out a little bit, primarily me, because not all the panelists really care, because, you know, not all of them, right? It's like I'm using natal astrology primarily, so this is a big deal to me because my prediction on the panel is predicated on it. But some people are going to be using, you know, mundane astrology. Some people might be using horary or electional or what have you. So it's like not everybody, this is not a big deal for everybody, which I understand, but there are, you know, several people on the panel who will be basing their predictions on the natal chart of the candidates and their vice presidential candidates. So it was kind of a big deal for them. We kept pushing, and then eventually at some point, Ray said that the ESAR president said that he talked Mark into, or that Mark agreed to release it ahead of time. And now they're going to put it out in an ESAR newsletter this weekend at some unspecified time this weekend in an ESAR newsletter. So they're still not releasing it to the panelists ahead of time. So we're still kind of screwed because we're 2 weeks out from when the conference starts today. I have to fly out there 2 weeks from today, and we'll be at like a faculty meet and greet about this time 2 weeks from now. But for some stupid reason, even though they got Mark to agree to let them announce it ahead of time, they're still not going to give it to the panelists until this weekend. So we have to wait several more days and sort of drag out this whole process even more in some sort of like misconceived attempt to promote the conference. So that's the sort of practical setup or scenario of where we're at with this. Now there's more sort of behind the scenes stuff in terms of the actual question of you know, is the data even valid to begin with? And that's when we get into this whole separate can of worms that you actually figured out and you've been working on for a couple of months now, right?
Yeah. So there were rumors floating around on Facebook that Penfield, this happened in early August, an astrologer posted in a group and said that Penfield had gotten a time, and that the time was 2:18 a.m. Now, 2:18 a.m. is the same time that an astrologer called Zane Cohen had submitted to ADB in 2005, and he claimed it's from the birth certificate. So, I decided to kind of just ask around about this.
So the Zane thing, you inquiring about the Zane time, was explicitly based on the fact that you had come across somebody that was saying 2:18 and saying that Mark Penfield was saying that that's the correct time.
Yeah, so I
well, and that
I
was wondered, in early August,
right? Because it made me think that, you know, maybe if Penfield had discovered this time 2:18 a.m., that maybe he was getting it from the same source as Zane. So I thought, well, I should just ask Zane because I couldn't get a hold of Mark Penfield. I sent him an email and he hadn't responded. So I decided to contact Zane and find out more information. And he claimed that it was from a birth certificate, which he has. But he said a few really strange things. He said that, it should actually be, let's see, in my conversation with him, he said that there was a misprint on it and that it's not 2:18 a.m., that it's actually 1:18 a.m. And apparently at some point he'd shared this with Noel Till, who rectified it to 1:36 a.m. And he basically told me that he couldn't show me the document in any way because it would be illegal, that it would get people in trouble if he showed anyone the document. And I said, well, I'm not asking you to share it publicly. I'm just asking if you can, you know, if I can, I could vouch for you. I could validate what you're saying.
Right.
You know, I basically asked for some degree of evidence and he got all snippy and bitchy and,
right. He got really hostile with you.
Very hostile. And he blocked me. And I mean,
well, he said something like, how dare you? Or like, what did he say?
Right. I mean, he said some interesting things.
If you don't have it, that's fine. But it's like,
he's like, you know, of course I know. I basically said, you know, if you could provide some evidence to back up your claim, this would be really helpful because, you know, a lot of people have been, you know, going nuts about this for a few years now. And he's like, of course I know. I've been an astrologer since age 14 and I started my business at age 18 and that was 42 years ago. And I'm one of the few astrologers with a diploma from the Facility of Astrological Studies in the UK and I know the law and I say you do not. And call Noel Till and so we see what he says. And I have zero to prove to you or anyone. Who do you think you are speaking to? I was an astrologer before you were born, young man. I'm 60 years old.
Right.
You know,
so he just freaks out and goes on this whole tirade when you start asking legitimate question, which is just he's claiming he has a copy of the birth certificate. Right.
I only asked him for some evidence that he really did have the birth time. And he just basically said he got it through some connections he had as a lawyer, something that was going to get him in trouble. And the problem with his story is that there is another astrologer. Can we name?
Well, hold on a sec before we get there. Yeah. So he had submitted that to Astro Data Bank 10 years ago, because it's been around since at least people are saying 2005 or something, maybe. I think it goes back. I found a forum that was citing it since at least 2008. So at least since 2008 and probably as early as 2005, this guy, Zane Cohen, I hope that's how you pronounce his name. It says in the Astro Data Bank entry, it says the Astro Data Bank website comments on her chart include an unverified claim from Zane Cohen claiming to be quoting from her birth certificate saying, quote unquote, I can say that I have the correct birth time, 2:18 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois. And that's it. So he was claiming that it was from a birth certificate. He submitted it to Astro Data Bank at least 10 years ago as 2:18. And then when you email him
in August of 2016, he tells me it's 1:18 a.m.
Right, an hour off. And did he actually say to you, or was it to the other guy, Mark, that
it should actually...
A typo on Astro Data Bank or something?
So then he told another astrologer something completely different, saying that actually should be 2:08.
So he didn't clarify, he didn't explain why it should be 1:18 to you, right?
He said it was a misprint.
Okay. So he claims to you that, you know, and this has been up for 10 years. So did he say that he tried
to not? Apparently not.
Sure. So it's been up for 10 years.
But he didn't even mention this to Mark either.
Sure. So what's weird is that, so you had that whole exchange with him 2 months ago, and then right around the same time, because Mark said it was also in August, so within a month or two or 3 months tops, Mark Cullen from the UK, who's been compiling a really amazing synopsis or survey of all the different predictions that are being made for the U.S. presidential election this year. He's compiling that on the Skyscript forum in one of their threads there. And so he contacts the same guy, basically asking for the source of the birth time. And what time does he give Mark?
that it should be 208.
So he tells Mark it should be, he says,
he told me it's 118 and he told him it's actually 208 instead of 218.
Right. And he says the same thing, that it was a typo.
Yeah.
That it was a typo or that it was misreported on Astro Data Bank, and that he said something about that he hasn't had a chance to fix it or something like that. So, which is just complete bullshit. So it means that there's this whatever random astrologer who submitted a time 10 years ago that was probably rectified, because usually when times are sort of made up out of thin air, it's because you've got some astrologer who, you know, thinks so greatly of their astrological abilities that they think they can, you know, back form or like divine the exact birth time based on whatever, you know, techniques they're using that day, and to figure out the precise birth time. And they
pulling a Penfield.
Right. Well, and we'll get to that in a second. But so he probably, hypothetically, let's say, rectified this time 10 years ago, submits it to Astro Data Bank as an exact time of 2:18 a.m. And then, you know, 10 years later, you know, he's getting asked about this and he gives out two different times to two separate astrologers. Presumably, I'm guessing what's happening is that he's rectifying it and he's still like trying to settle on what he thinks the correct time is. And he's like changing it at different points or like adjusting his rectification. But whatever his motivation is, it's obvious that he's full of shit and that he's basically he's given out three different versions of this same time. So, and then gotten really defensive when at least one of you has pushed him on it and asked for his source, since he's claiming it's from a birth certificate. And that's the other thing. His original claim that it was 218 said that it was from a birth certificate. And so he wouldn't change it after the fact to like 208 or to 118 if he wasn't adjusting his rectification.
Right.
If it wasn't originally a rectification, like you don't change a birth certificate time like that.
So if Mark Penfield is reporting 218, and we don't know that yet, obviously, until the announcement's made, but...
Well, and that's what you originally found, though, is in early August, is that you found a guy who was saying that Mark Penfield was claiming it was 218. Yep. And so, that's why you started looking into Zane Cohen.
Right. So, I mean, I think if that rumor from August is true, that it is 218 a.m., then, you know, I think we have to approach this with extreme caution, because it's clear that Zane is seemingly making things up. And so,
right, because so that's what everyone thinks. It's like everybody saw this announcement, you know, on the part of Mark Penfield or from ESAR saying Mark Penfield had the time. Other people had already seen the rumors that Mark Penfield was using a 218 time in August. And so the working theory by pretty much everybody at this point is that, you know, Mark Penfield saying it's an exact 218 time. This Zane guy's been saying he has a birth certificate and it's a 2:18 a.m. time for about 10 years now. That's a little bit too coincidental. Therefore, Mark Penfield probably must be basing, you know, the time he's giving off of this Zane guy. Except what the working sort of theory is at this point is that Mark may be basing, you know, his time off of Zane, but he may be trusting Zane and Zane's claims that he had an exact birth certificate and not realizing that Zane is going around giving different times to different astrologers. So that's basically the working theory. I think that most, I've seen this posted on a few different forums at this point of what the assumption is. And that's sort of our working assumption at this point, because it's too coincidental. Because it's like, we know on the one hand that Zane is full of crap since he's giving out different birth times. And then at the same time, it's too coincidental for Mark to come up with this exact time, same time as Zane, I think, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way around it. And just the way that Zane reacted to being pressed on providing evidence that he had the birth certificate, you know, I just, it's hard to believe that someone wouldn't ask for that if they had that. And I've had a few people ask me for the PDF of, you know, Tim Kaine's chart, and I've been happy to, you know, show, because it exists.
Sure.
It's real, you know, as proof, you know, it's 7:59. So, I think that's what's happening. And I think that, you know, this time is not going to solve the problem of, you know, the uncertainty surrounding Hillary's birth time. you know, unfortunately.
Right. And that's the real issue at this point is, well, there's a bunch of issues, but one of the big right. questions that came up as soon as this announcement came out was, you know, aside from, you know, what's the time that Penfield's working with was, you know, who is Mark Penfield and how reliable is he? And he's actually known to some extent as a data collector. And I remember seeing his name on a lot of data, Astro Data Bank entries. But then it's like when I talked to two different data collectors this week about, you know, how's Penfield's data collection, because it's like sometimes there's, you know, really good data collectors that are like really solid and really reliable. And then sometimes there's other ones who are not reliable or who are sketchy or who, you know, submit a rectified birth time as if it came from the birth certificate or what have you. And the general like report and sometimes like public statements, like Frank Clifford issued, who's a data collector, issued a public statement about Penfield basically saying that he had a pretty checkered history in data collection and that especially during his early career, that he was actually accused by Lois Rodden of submitting sketchy times, that he would submit times and list them as a personal source, as the source of the time, but then they would turn out to be rectifications. So that was supposedly in his early career, and then later, supposedly he got better, and that he actually would sometimes go to like birth data registry places in California and read over the phone like accurate birth times for certain people that they were trying to look up for Astro Data Bank, so that he actually did do some good work later on in his career, especially in terms of some data for like mundane astrology and stuff like that. But so we have this issue where we have somebody that potentially, you know, had at least at one point a sort of not very good practices potentially in his data collection. And now he's claiming to have found the birth certificate or found the time. Actually, I should take that back because Ray Merriman actually backed down on that. And when he started getting pressure and when I was pressing him to say to give the panelists the time, he said, you know, everybody stop freaking out. It's not a birth certificate. So nobody knows for sure, even once we release the data, like for sure what it is. And so he seemingly started backing off from the very strong claim that they made in the announcement to something more ambiguous, while at the same time still claiming that there's some sort of new evidence that's been uncovered. So one of the questions that's come up and that people are talking about is how reliable is Mark Penfield? And you know, why is he keeping this? How long has he known about this? How did he find out? Like, what was his method? What was the source? And the big question when this is finally released is going to be not just, you know, what's the time, what's the chart look like, and does it look like a plausible chart, but also what was his actual source? How did he come about getting it? And how reliable does that sound? Or is this not actually a valid thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to find out in like a few days, I suppose. A few more days. It's just going to take that long to type out a number.
Yeah. Well,
and a paragraph explaining it. I mean, it just, you know, unfortunately, the way that this has been handled, you know, even if there is some sort of nugget of discovery here, you know, I mean, what reason do people have to, you know, trust this? Or yeah, I think people should be very skeptical about this when this is released. Yeah, but all of the reasons you just mentioned as well.
Right. I mean, we're all, I think, hopefully all going to be approaching it with a certain deal of skepticism, and that's going to be part of the process is then whatever his claim is. And what's going to be annoying is like, it's gone from, you know, a few days ago, like 2 or 3 days ago, it was like, Mark Penfield has the data and he's only going to release it at the panel, which he'll be at in 2 weeks, to suddenly now they're saying Mark Penfield is sick and may not attend the panel. And I don't know if it's like, if that's valid or if he is feeling the sort of backlash from this like ill-conceived announcement that went out that he then, you know, got a lot of flack from in addition to ESAR or.
I mean, let's just put it this way. You know, if you had gotten a time from someone that you thought was the right one, but it turned out it was from Zane Cohen, which means that it was a shit time.
Right.
And then you managed to convince ISAR Sorry, I call it ISAR. I didn't realize people called it ESAR, but yeah, I call it ISAR.
I mean, that's probably more respectable. ESAR sounds a little...
You know, so presume that you had gotten a bad time from someone and you only realized that after, you know, intense criticism was levied upon it, upon this announcement, in addition to these kind of rumors about the time that you got, and you realized that you had gotten yourself in too deep into something,
right?
And you realized you had to get out. I mean, wouldn't you try to find a way to get out? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that the situation, how would you tell that this isn't, you know, what it looks like when someone is trying to get out of something that they got themselves too deep into?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a legitimate point at which I think anybody would back out or try to back out.
I mean, it's understandable, you know, if that's the case, you know, I guess.
And it's like, we have no idea because we don't know this guy. And you attempted to contact him 2 months ago to initiate this conversation and inquire about the 218 time that was being attributed to him. But he didn't respond, right?
No, I mean, it's possible he, you know, hadn't checked it, you know. Or maybe it was an email address he didn't use anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're assuming we have the right email address, right? Which we're actually not.
You know, 100%. Maybe there are other reasons, but you know, it was otherwise it was difficult to try to get a hold of him. And
sure. So we don't know, and I mean, this is going to be what sucks about this weekend is like supposedly. You know, it's going to be announced, but it's not going to be an announcement coming from him even. It's going to be an announcement coming from the president of ESAR, Ray Merriman, who's going to relay what Mark told him for some reason this weekend. So that's going to be a problem in and of it. Like, I'm already anticipating that whatever is released this weekend probably is not going to answer all the questions, but instead may raise new ones.
Basically, the only way this could possibly be any more fishy is if the time was fishy o'clock. You know, like, this is...
right.
It's just through and through. Everything about it is just seemingly not legit. And unfortunately, what we need is a legitimate time. And unfortunately, right. I think the only way that we're ever going to get to the bottom of this issue is if Hillary... releases the birth certificate. So short of Trump mounting a last minute, you know, birther campaign against Hillary Clinton, which crazily isn't, there isn't a 0% chance of that happening with Trump. You know, you never know. you know, we are probably not going to know what this information is, you know.
Yeah. And what sucks the most about this for me is I was hoping we'd have this a little bit more clarified by this point, but if anything, it's gotten more murky. And so this panel is still taking place in 2 weeks. So I'm actually met with the unenviable position of basically the situation for me is it still comes down to the two primary birth times of like 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. At this point, unless something seriously impressive comes out in this weekend from Mark Penfield. I'm guessing that nothing that impressive. I'm guessing he's just drawing on the Zane Cohen time and doesn't realize that it's fabricated. Assuming that that's still the case, we're still in the unenviable situation of having to pick between the 8 a.m. time and the 8 p.m. time. And the problem there, the basic like conundrum is that the 8 p.m. time has better or more reliable evidence for it,
right?
Because that's the only time that Hillary's ever given, as far as we know, directly to astrologers in person. It's the only time that's documented in that Chicago Sun-Times article that we found from 1993.
I mean, that's approaching a B rating. You know, that's
right.
You know, that's is if we were to consider those as the only credible sources. I mean, that would be a B rating.
So it's like all of the actual external evidence, for the most part, or the majority of the evidence points to the 8 p.m. time. Right. The problem I personally run into is the 8 a.m. time is the most impressive and most compelling chart to me from an astrological perspective, both in just the natal chart itself as well as the timing periods. And that's really the biggest issue that I run into at this point is, what do you do in that instance?
Right. There are some plausible rationales which people have put forward for 8 p.m. Most notably, I think of Nick Degenbest. You know, he's shown how, the Mars retrogrades from early Cancer to Gemini, you know, have been these crucial periods for Hillary, and that would have gone over her ascendant. But my response to that as kind of an 8 a.m. advocate is that with Mars ruling the ascendant, you know, all of the Mars retrogrades are going to be, you know, more emphasized and important in her life.
Right.
You know, so, and those ones that go from Cancer to Gemini would also be hitting, you know, Bill's midheaven, you know, and those events that Nick has referenced have been ones that involved Bill Clinton, her marriage to Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton's inauguration. That's sort of my response, but I think it's not a terrible, you know, it's not a terrible rationale. It's not a bad way to, look at that time. But as far as, yeah, the kind of overall natal considerations, eminence, the zodiacal releasing, the, 8 a.m. time seems to, I mean, I could be wrong, you know, I accept it totally if I'm wrong on it. And I'd have to, you know, obviously do some deep, soul searching, you know, on that, but, we may not get much confirmation anyway.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the thing is, if the 8 a.m. time is correct, then she has it and she wins. If the 8 p.m. time charts are correct, or most of the other ones that are proposed, including 218, it doesn't look as compelling. It looks much more iffy.
Well, the other reason I think that it's 8 a.m. versus 8 p.m. is the fact that it's difficult to compare the transits between the ascendants of the 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. times, because they're both already conjunct planets. So you wouldn't be able to, it would be difficult to tell if a transit was to that planet versus the ascendant. But one interesting feature between the two charts is that the MCIC axes are flipped almost exactly. So 5 degrees Virgo is the midheaven at 8 a.m. and 5 degrees Pisces is the midheaven at 8 p.m. So okay, presumably you could tell which one is which by seeing whether the transits to 5 Virgo or 5 Pisces are more relevant for her career. And so what I found over and over again is that the transits through Virgo to 5 Virgo were definitely more relevant for her career. For example, Saturn transiting 5 Virgo, that was in late 2007 through to the summer of 2008, Saturn transited over 5 Virgo. So that she had a Saturn transit to her midheaven when she lost to Barack Obama in the primary election. And this is something we'd expect from a Saturn transit to your midheaven, a trying, testing, you know, time of contraction, a loss, a public loss, you know, and then compare that to the 2016 primary, or, you know, the primary fight with Bernie Sanders, where she had Jupiter transiting through the sign of Virgo, and she had Jupiter conjunct her midheaven and a few points. And, you know, that was a time when she had a victory, you know, in a primary. So at Jupiter, that's something we might expect more, you know, with Jupiter. And Jupiter was also at 5 Virgo when she first, when she became president of her student government in college. And, it was there when she, you know, gave birth to her daughter, Chelsea. And, so there's, I've laid this all out in my article, Hillary Clinton's real birth time, you know, where I look at all these different transits of, you know, these planets. Oh, and next up on January 20th, inauguration day coming right up, the North Node will be at 5 Virgo. So,
right,
you know, to me that shows again, a sort of more confirmation that, you know, with the eclipse point coming to her, you know, midheaven on the day that she gets inaugurated as president, I think that's fairly fitting. It would make less sense if it was the South Node on your midheaven if you, you know, had just won. This, the South Node has more negative connotations than the North Node. So,
And there's a bunch of stuff in the zodiac releasing.
Right. That's really impressive. Yeah, true. So, I mean, so through both lenses, through, you know, conventional transits, as well as, you know, some of these more esoteric time law procedures, the 8 a.m. time seems to be very convincing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's basically what I'm planning on saying on the panel and have been saying on planning for a while, but it's just, it's an unfortunate position because you're basically like Hillary told me herself she was born at 8 p.m. I'm using the exact opposite time under the presumption that either she was wrong or she was giving out the exact opposite time. Right. But based on that, if I assume that she was, you know, either mistaken or not being straightforward about it, you know, she wins the presidency and will be inaugurated in January. So that's a weird position to be in. And I was hoping for some clarification about that. I mean, because then there's this, that's why, you know, this is a wild card that comes out of nowhere, where this third supposed time comes out of nowhere and says that that's the correct time. And that's why it's important for something like that to get settled and put out in the open very quickly and very cleanly and clearly, so that we can weigh it and gauge its accuracy and how reliable it seems. But instead it's getting dragged out in this sort of ill-conceived attempt to promote this conference.
Well, at least we have Trump and Kane's data.
Yeah. So those are reliable, and we can use those as alternate data points that are more stable in order to attempt to do the same thing. And it still seems to reaffirm the same conclusion, at least in terms of the Zodiac releasing, to me, with Trump, because it shows him having a major career transition, like a year after the election or year after the inauguration. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to the career transition that Obama's having that starts a few months after he leaves office. And I don't really see why Trump would be having that big of a sort of career transition a year later, after if he had actually won the presidency.
Yeah.
But instead it's more like a figuring out to do where to go from here in retrospect after losing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, the major period of his is cadent, you know, which at first glance we go, well, wait, you know, how did he become a presidential candidate and reach this fame and his notoriety, you know, if he's in a cadent major period? But that cadent major period contains two of his trigons of the sectlite. And when you encounter trigons of the sectlite, you know, on a major period on Zodiac releasing, that raises your esteem in the world, because those are the planets that support the sectlite, you know, the sun. You know, his sun is in Gemini. He's born during the day, so his trigons are Mercury, Saturn, and Jupiter. And he has Mercury and Saturn in the sign of Cancer. And that's the sign of the kingdom perfection. And so to even just on that level, you know, that Trump is in a cadent period where, you know, these his capacity to, you know, act his will in the world is deflected away from him, versus Hillary, who is in a major angular period, you know, seems to suggest that, you know, she's just in a more, she's in a better position to, you know, have influence in the world, whereas he's, you know, kind of catching wind of something, but it may not take him anywhere. You know, it's Caden.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and his was impressive because he went into a level two, a major peak period, which really coincided with his rise and his sort of triumph over the past year. And it actually ended like eerily on, it was like the day the Republican National Convention started or the day that he accepted the, which one was it? It was
like something like that.
It was like the timing was really spectacular in terms of that whole sort of peak period. It's like an 8 month peak period leading into that.
The, you know, he's currently in a Cancer major period, and he has a Mercury in Cancer. And so now he's at Gemini on the sub period. So it, you know, that is activating the Mercury, which is one of his trigon lords and is in the sign of Cancer, the major period. So he, you know, this is like a really like big, like focus, you know, time for him, especially when, you know, he comes to the Sagittarius loosing of the bond at the lower level, because then that's contacting the lord of the major period on the lower levels, the moon, the Sagittarius, you know, which rules Cancer. You know, and when he first entered the Cancer major period back in like the early 2000s, it was right around the time that he started getting the idea to, you know, start going to reality TV. It was the beginning of the apprentice era of his career, you know, and this is like the culmination of it, you know. And after this loosing the bond, he kind of goes into a totally different part of his life that doesn't is totally disconnected from this apprentice stuff and this reality show stuff and this political stuff and this campaign.
Sure. And that starts career transition so that starts in December of 2017.
Right. So, I mean, what we're seeing now for Trump, you know, this is like the beginning of something that started, you know, with The Apprentice. And it's also his Fortune 6th, which, you know, rules employees and stuff and, you know, public enemies. So naturally, you know, the show was called Apprentice, you know, a very sixth house type of subject. And then, you know, his campaign has been so focused on, you know, perceived, you know, public enemies, you know, foreign and domestic, whether they be, you know, Muslims or Mexicans or immigrants, what have you.
Sure. Actually, I mean, that's actually so something Austin Kelly and I briefly started talking about in the forecast episode, which is just it's been amazing. It's been a year now since we all did that Saturn and Sagittarius episode. And it's been just really wild seeing some of those themes that were identified and especially some of the themes that you identified really, you know, coming to the forefront in the world. I mean, you have some of the stuff involving like immigration and discussion right. about like foreigners. You have like, you know, the immigration that's taking place in Europe. And then you've got right. Trump and some of the rhetoric and some of the things surrounding that. But then some of the, I thought was really funny in connection with your article on that was some of the space travel stuff has really happened as well. Like you had, SpaceX.
Major bridges to far away. Right.
So they just made that announcement about, you know, Mars attempts to sort of colonize or get people on Mars in like the next decade or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Anyways, completely unrelated, also, but
actually slightly related just because, you know, Saturn in Sagittarius will be hitting Trump's moon and opposing his sun, you know, close to the January, you know, inauguration time. And it coincides with Kane's Saturn return. So, on the one hand, you see this, you know, big bummer of a time for Trump, you know, Saturn on his moon. And then, you know, but for Kane, you know, it's his, you know, perfected lord. It's, you know, the ruler of his 10th. And he, as Saturn returns to his natal Saturn the 9th in Sagittarius, he becomes, you know, vice president.
Right. And doesn't Hillary go into like a 10th house perfection year right before election day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 10th house perfection year, and then on inauguration day, she has that weird repetition of in the zodiac releasing periods, level 1 and level 2 repeating on level 3 and level 4, yeah. And that comes up, you know, very rarely, only on very important days that sometimes like stand out in terms of the native's entire life or entire life chronology. And like one of the analogies I used for that was is O.J. Simpson, the day that he was acquitted had the same exact. Not the same exact placement, but a similar repetition between level 1 and level 2 and level 3 and level 4 that sort of mirrors and magnifies things. So it's like this right. day that stands out in sort of infamy in the person's chronology. And it's really weird seeing that show up exactly on inauguration day in Hillary's chart using the 8 a.m. time.
Yeah, what's also kind of interesting is like sometimes a period will kind of, it's like a tsunami effect. Like it kind of picks up steam as a sub period is encountered in different contexts. So for Hillary, you know, she got married to Bill under Leo Libra, you know, Libra with Venus ruling. And then she becomes first lady under Virgo Libra. And now she's in her Libra major period. And now she's, you know, first woman president. So it's kind of like this progression in her life that is followed by the sub period and, you know, to do with her Libra sub periods. And now that she's actually in the major Libra period, it's like the ultimate expression of it, which is to be, you know, Mrs. President, Ms. President, Madam President.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something I think I'm going to go over at my ESAR lecture. So I guess we should start wrapping this up and saying, yeah. You know, we're both going to be at the ESAR conference in 2 weeks. We're both going to be giving talks there. What's your talk?
My talk is called Little Lots and Arabic Parts, big differences between similar charts, which might be the first I saw topic to rhyme.
Yeah, that sounds like a children's story.
Yeah. Basically, it's just about how you can use lots and Siddharth releasing to tease out subtle and substantial differences between very similar charts, such as the charts of twins.
Awesome. Excellent. And I'll be doing something very similar in basically giving a lecture and showing how to use Zodiac releasing to predict periods of eminence in a person's life, including some presidential charts, which will then lead into the presidential prediction and probably going through Hillary's chart and showing, you know, why we feel like this chronology with the 8 a.m. time is so compelling, and what it indicates if that is the correct chart versus the others. And then, of course, I'll be doing the panel at the end of the conference, presumably, in which I do like a very condensed version of that, basically making that that prediction.
Yeah.
So that's going to be awesome. So 2 weeks from now, you know, this was a great, I'm glad we got a chance to go through all of this. Obviously, this is still a work in progress. And it's like, who knows what's going to happen this weekend. I don't know if we're going to have to do a follow up at some point in order to cope with, you know, if our minds have been blown or, this weekend,
you know, but more likely just totally disappointed and just, depressed.
Yeah, basically explaining what the issues are or whatever, and our process of going through that. But hopefully, I mean, one of the things we talked about here that I think hopefully is clearer for people is part of the process of, you know, how this can actually be much more involved and much more of a long-term and detailed and like difficult thing. Finding birth data and verifying it and some of the things that you have to go through, but also why it's important to, I don't know, have good structures in place in the astrological community. And I'm sure there's also some broader discussion that is going to arise and needs to arise and that we probably need to have about, you know, this whole debacle that's happened over the past week with ESAR and some of the things surrounding, you know, the ethics of releasing data versus withholding birth data or how you source or cite it or whether it's ethical to, you know, put out a rectified time as if it's a real one and all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess we'll save that for another show. All right. Well, where can people find out more? You're going to keep writing election articles. You've been doing a series on the debates, right?
Yeah, I'm going to keep up with the debates. I think my next political one is going to be on Tim Kaine, since we are going to be seeing him go up against Pence on October 4th. So I'm going to try to get that up pretty quickly. But that's a chart I haven't really talked about since the time I released that time. But there's some very interesting features of his Zodiac releasing that I think we'll definitely be illustrative with this election.
Awesome. Well, and, where can people find out more information about that?
Yeah, people can find out about that. You can read my articles at my website, www.patrickwatsonastrologer.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Patrick Watson Astrologer. You can also find me on Twitter at P Watson Astro. And if you like my blogs, which seems like improbably, and seemingly quite a few people do, can also support me on Patreon. I just launched a Patreon page. So if you type in Patrick Watson Astrologer on Patreon, you should be able to find my my page. And it's also accessible from my website on any article.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's great that you've launched that. You've developed quite a following over the course of the past like year since you've really gotten back to blogging. And it's great to see you, you know, be sort of supported by that so that you can like continue to pump out more and more articles in the future.
Yeah, I love to do it. It's awesome for me, but apparently it's awesome for other people too. So yeah.
Yeah, well, and you're doing sort of community service with it to some extent as well, to the extent that you're like, you know, collecting, you got the potential vice president's birth time and birth certificate before he was even announced. And that's, you know, part of what you do as an astrologer and as a blogger.
Yeah, I do try to support community efforts for significant birth times. And I'm always on the lookout for, you know, which birth times are accessible to the public. And so I do try to keep on top of that to some extent.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, everyone check out your website at patrickwatsonastrologer.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for, you know, supporting the podcast. Congratulations to the two winners of the giveaway this month. Starting in the next episode, the next four episodes from now, I'll do another giveaway. I'm going to try to talk to the NCGR and talk them into give it a shot again to see if they want to give away a free pass to their upcoming conference, which is going to be in February in Baltimore. But I'm still working that out. So we'll see what the prize is going to be. And then I'll make an announcement about it. In the meantime, if you'd like to support the show, or if you'd like to be entered into the next giveaway, please become a patron. You can find out more information at theastrologypodcast.com/subscribe. And yeah, thanks for joining me tonight, Patrick.
Thank you very much for having me. See you in California.
All right. Yeah. See you in a couple of weeks. And thanks everyone for listening.